Blog Talk Radio.
From deepest, darkest Africa, across the polar ice cap, spanning the jungles of South America, without a compass, without a map, Blog Talk Radio and Wildlife Educational Services presents Larry Batson's Wild World. Discover the wonders of the natural world with nationally known wildlife educator Larry Batson as we visit his wild world.
Hello, everyone, from the remote jungles of Clinton Falls, Indiana. This is Larry Batson, and you're listening to Larry Batson's Wild World on the massive network known as Blog Talk Radio. Big thank you to our technical producers tonight, Melissa Hovey and Wayne Larson. They'll keep us on the air, man the chat rooms, and also check out the phones, and if you'd like to call in tonight, you know, I should have the Wild World number right here in front of me, but I do, I'm just kidding. That number tonight is 347-855-8123, and we're going to have a fantastic guest all the way from New York, Lake Chautauqua, Chautauqua Lake. Peter, how do they say that? I screw that up every time.
No, well, you were close. It's Chautauqua, Lake Chautauqua.
Lake Chautauqua, okay. I don't know how it's...
Lake...
Okay. Peter Weimer's our guest tonight from Lake Chautauqua in western New York. And we're going to talk fishing and outdoors and also his brand new website, something very exciting called iKids Fishing. And also possibly an appearance with his new film in regards to iKids Fishing at the Sundance Film Festival in Utah. Very exciting. So we'll be talking to Peter about that. Also his young son, prime age of 10 years old, Justin Weimer, will be with us in just a little bit as well as we talk about fishing up there in western New York. And as always, from the massive radio studios in Indianapolis, Indiana, the distinguished Dr. Henry Day. Good evening, Doctor.
Good evening, Mr. Batson.
Well, we're starting to experience a little bit of chilly weather here in Indiana.
Yep, I've picked all the vegetables, brought everything in. Hopefully what's left out there will survive the next few days.
Well, I hope so, too. Well, they said 60 degrees, so I think winter's just sort of teasing us, but it's not far away. I want to remind everybody, we've got some exciting shows coming up next week for sure. From the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, all the way from London, England, Dave Davies is going to join us, a founder of the fantastic group of the 60s, the Kinks. And we had a chance to talk to him from London, England. Now, we had a time problem. Of course, our show airs at 10 o'clock, which means poor Mr. Davies would have to stay up till 3 o'clock in the morning, and he doesn't do that anymore. So we were lucky enough to talk to him, and we've recorded it. Next week it's going to be on the show, and he also has a fantastic new album that I've heard excerpts from called Two Worlds. It's kind of like, I don't know how to describe it. I think you would sort of say it's like Pink Floyd meets the Kinks, if that makes any sense whatsoever.
That's a good explanation. It really was beautiful.
Oh, it's I can't wait to hear it all. They just sent us some. It's not even out yet, so all of our listeners next week, this will be your first opportunity to hear this brand new music from an icon of the British invasion, Dave Davies from the Kinks. He'll be on next week, and we're all very excited. We also want to tell everyone, on the 18th of November, Joel Thomas, naturalist, he's also from New York up there by Peter. He's also written a new book. So Joel Thomas is going to be on to talk to us. And then Thanksgiving night, man, oh, man, it's going to be a very special Thanksgiving here at the Wild World Studios because, believe it or not, gosh, I hope. I don't know, Dr. Day, whether I'm dreading this or getting ready to enjoy this program.
It's a family affair.
It's going to be a family affair. My mother's going to, oh my God, some of the stories she could tell. Well, we'll see. Folks, it should be fun. So while you're sitting in your easy chair, tryptophan out from all the turkey, tune us in at 10 o'clock because my mom's going to be on the show. And you know, believe it or not, Dr. Day, I think I persuaded my long-lost brother from down in Missouri to be on the Sharpshooter, Kevin. And I think my sister's going to be on as well. So I'll tell you, folks, it's going to be a wacky show for the Batsons on Thanksgiving night. So be sure to tune into that. We've got a great show tonight, as I mentioned, but let's get this thing kicked off. Of course, manning the Wild World News Desk. And by the way, the Wild World News, brought to you by Dr. Henry Day, is underwritten by Jet Kaiser Films. JetKaiserFilms.com. He puts documentaries together for companies of all sizes. It's all HD. This young man, he's a talented artist, and you want to be sure that you check out his website, Jet Kaiser, KAISER.com, and he's the underwriter of our Wild World News. What you got for us tonight, Doctor?
Well, Wild World News, Wild World.
Spit it out.
The animal news tonight.
Yeah.
And we're starting out in Montpelier, Vermont. A bald eagle wounded by a shotgun blast in early September has been released back into the wild in Thetford, said one of the people who helped nurse the bird back to health. He flew right across the river. That was Sarah Eisenhower of the Vermont Institute of National Sciences. And as we all know, bald eagles are protected by state and federal laws.
That they are. That's outstanding news. That's great.
Anytime we can turn one loose back into the wild, that's a good thing.
Absolutely.
All right, let's head off to Portland, Maine. State residents who grow blueberries or catch lobsters for a living are eligible for a special business training program that could offer them cash. The Lobstermen's Association said the program can include up to $12,000 payments. The U.S. Department of Agriculture program is being offered after the USDA determined that those industries were hurt by imports. Importing lobsters and blueberries.
So I don't understand. What the government's going to pay them to?
It's a special training program to help them, with the industries of the lobsters and the blueberries. They'll teach them how to proper way to do this and that, and just basically management.
I see. Okay.
But they're going to pay them for that.
They're going to pay them for that.
That's right.
Well, that's interesting.
Yeah, it's like not growing corn.
I think I'm going to go buy
weed.
A blueberry bush. Gollum.
All right, well, now here's a fun story. Memphis, Tennessee. There are 1,400 Mississippi gopher frog tadpoles swimming at the Henry Dorley Zoo in Omaha, and they owe their existence to experts in Memphis. Techniques developed at the Memphis Zoo have resulted in successful in vitro fertilization of these endangered frogs, including the successful transport of frog sperm to Oklahoma to help with the process.
I don't know why that's funny to me, but
yeah, that's kind of my response too. First off, how do you do that? And
I don't have a clue.
But anyway, we're happy for those little gopher frog tadpoles.
Well, we are happy for them. Now, maybe we should have who's ever involved with this program on the show.
That's a good idea.
I bet I could hunt them up.
Yeah, and we have a couple of questions for him, so yeah, that's a good idea.
I mean, if we can hunt up Dave Davies of the Kinks, we can surely find the guy connected with the, what is it, gopher frog tadpoles?
Gopher frog, yep.
Yeah, we'll work on that.
Okay, well then let's run off to Spokane, Washington. The tiny Columbia Basin pygmy rabbit remains an endangered species, and threats have increased over the past 5 years, according to the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. The study blamed increased risk from disease and captivity, lowered ability to survive in the wild, and a loss of genetic uniqueness due to interbreeding. Yeah, little baby bunnies. Little pygmy baby bunnies.
How big are they, does it say? I'm not familiar with them.
But if they're pygmies, they're tiny. And, you know, our The domestic rabbits, they get pretty good size, but the wild rabbits, they're basically all stay pretty much the same size except for the jackrabbits.
Wow.
And they can be 9 foot tall.
Yeah, right. Well, maybe if they're jumping, but...
Yeah.
Dr. Day, get your facts straight. There's children...
All right. Well, we'll get on. Okay, here, let's go to my home state. Let's talk Kansas.
Uh-oh.
The Quivira National Wildlife Reserve is closed to hunting until further notice because of the arrival of the whooping cranes.
Oh.
The Fish and Wildlife Service said the closure is necessary to protect the endangered birds. And the refuge personnel will monitor their locations while they're there.
What a great segue, because we're going to have on in the next few weeks Mark Madison, who just got back from New Orleans in Louisiana. And they brought back all the archives. And I wish I knew the gentleman's name, but I don't. But he's basically the one that brought the whooping crane back from extinction. And now all of his archives connected with his research on this are now property of the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. And Mr. Madison and our good friend Jeannie Harold, the curator of the National Conservation Training Center, they went down and collected these, I guess it was like a small barn full of archives from his work with the whooping crane. And we're going to hear all about that in the next few weeks. Yeah. In December, I believe. So we'll, that'll be Mark Madison. You have that to look forward to.
Cool. All right. Well, let's go to Oviedo, Florida. Police had to kill a wild boar that was charging at people in the Alafaya Woods subdivision. Police Lieutenant Mike Beavers said the animal's behavior left officers no choice but to kill it. The boar weighed between 200 and 300 pounds. And this little subdivision is near a conservation area.
Oh, really? Oh, that's... They can be pretty rough customers. I mean, of all the animals, oh, my Lord, they can be tough.
Yes, that...
You know, there's... you know, the old story, I don't like to be gruesome on this show, but, you know, there's been many a farmer that's had a health problem that's fallen into his pig family, and not much was left. I mean, they're pretty brutal. I mean,
yep.
And and you've all heard the stories of the javelinas, the peccaries in Arizona and New Mexico. There's many a hunter or ranch or whatever has been chased up a tree by those, and they're not that big, but God, they're ferocious. Unbelievable.
Yeah, they are ferocious.
Yes.
All right. Well, here's some sad news. Columbus, Ohio, the zoo and aquarium said the longest snake living in captivity has died. Workers found the 24-foot python named Fluffy dead from an apparent tumor. Fluffy, who had held the Guinness World Record, was about as long as a moving van and about as thick as a telephone pole. The 18-year-old reticulated python has drawn crowds there since she came to the zoo in 2007.
Oh, it's only been there since 2007?
Yeah.
I bet I know where that snake come from, too. I met a fellow in Nashville, Tennessee, many, many years ago that was a private collector that had one that was absolutely mammoth. Because I thought I had seen a big python at the Columbus Zoo. But apparently, it's been longer than 3 years. But, of course, those reticulated pythons, they're just huge. I believe that snake was 23, 24 feet long.
Wow.
Yeah, that's
a lot of snake.
That's
very
a
powerful.
Lot of snake.
I'm sorry?
That's a lot of snake.
Yeah.
And I know, because you've had a lot
before.
Of large snakes at the wildlife preserve there, and you've had a lot of big snakes there also.
Well, over the years, we have had some pretty good-sized snakes. I think the biggest one I've ever really worked with was about 18, 19 feet. And it took basically, and it was a pretty mild-mannered snake. It still took 3 or 4 people to move it. You know, it's all literally dead weight. Okay.
All right. Well, this is going to make you mad. One of
Uh-oh.
Your favorite places, Estes Park, Colorado.
Yeah.
The State Division of Wildlife is looking for the person who shot and wounded a bull elk with an arrow. The elk was a popular sight with its residents and visitors. The elk had to be euthanized after it could no longer eat or walk. The meat was donated. Operation Game Theft is offering a $5,000 reward leading to an arrest or a citation.
That is maddening, I'll tell you. That's God's country out there. There's creeps in everywhere, but that's just too bad.
It is too bad. I mean, how much, when an animal will basically walk up to you, what's the thrill of, I don't understand.
Well, you know, I shouldn't say this, but we're going to have on the program in the next few weeks a U.S. Fish and Wildlife special agent who was behind the investigation of a particular country music star, which we're not going to name right now. We'll wait till the actual show. But he was involved with having a game farm raise a bear cub until it was big enough for him to shoot.
Wow.
That's a little bit illegal, besides morally horrible. So we're going to have him on in the next few weeks, and we're going to talk all about that. The good news I have about that story is that that special agent happens to have his country music star's four-wheeler. So.
Then maybe I shouldn't do this next story.
Uh-oh, what is that story?
Nugent.
Oh, man. Now go ahead. I can rant and rave about him.
All right. Well, Nugent might come under fire for hunting. Rocker and celebrity hunter Ted Nugent has run afoul of the South Dakota game laws by shooting pheasants recently after some of his hunting privileges were revoked. Nugent's loss of his California deer hunting license through June 2012 allows 34 other states to revoke the same privilege under the Interstate Wildlife Violator Compact, though each state can interpret and enforce the agreement differently. Now, South Dakota honors other states' license revocations through both the compact and a state law that doesn't differentiate between large game such as deer and small game such as pheasant. Now, California revoked Nugent's deer hunting license August 13th after he pleaded no contest to misdemeanor charges of deer baiting and not having a properly signed tag.
Well, I don't know what to say. You know, I'm not anti-hunting. I've never been, but I don't know, somehow that he presents himself as a hunter, I just personally don't seem to like the guy. You know what I'm saying?
I have eaten his beef jerky.
How was it?
He has. It was actually pretty good, and there's a picture of him on the front riding a steer, and it says he test rides every piece of beef jerky before he sells it.
Yeah, that sounds like something he would say.
Yeah.
All right. We won't give Ted Nugent any more PR on this program. That'll be the last.
Okay. All right, here locally, let's mountain lion warnings given for southern Indiana. Let's run down to Bedford. A southern Indiana sheriff is warning the public about the presence of mountain lions in the area after four reported sightings in the past week. One of the sightings was by a Lawrence County police officer who spotted the mountain lion eating a deer carcass along Indiana 37 just north of Bedford over the weekend. Now, Lawrence County Sheriff Sam Craig told the Times Mail that although he doesn't want to alarm people, he wants residents to take proper precautions. And three other sightings were reported to the department in just this last week, too. Now, state officials have confirmed instances of mountain lions in the nearby Greene and Clay counties in the past year.
Well, my question is, what does he mean by proper procedures? I mean, Tom, Dick, and Harry don't know how to act around a mountain lion.
Right.
And these sightings have been reported for a long time. Far longer than just the last couple of years. I mean, years.
Right.
And we have a very healthy population of white-tailed deer, so there's no reason the cats couldn't survive. they're quite elusive, even in some of the areas in Colorado. I believe the Royal Gorge area used to be the highest population of mountain lions anywhere in the United States, and they're rarely ever seen. So I had we had one escape from a cat compound here, I don't know, it was 2 years ago, I think, year and a half.
Right, yeah, a couple of years ago.
And that particular mountain lion was taken from Montana. What had happened, its mother had been hit, I believe, and they got the cubs. And the cubs were totally wild. They were not imprinted by people at all. And one of them got loose from this compound, and it's no one. I figured a deer hunter would see it one day, and that'd be it. But it's continued to elude. It's sighted every once in a while, but it's continued to elude people, trackers, hunters, whatever. And I had a school superintendent call me when this had all happened. He says, you know, I have children on bus stops. And I proceeded to tell him, I said, now listen, that particular cat's a wild cat. And think about this. There are kids on bus stops in Montana, Colorado, Wyoming, Utah, where there are actually healthy mountain lion populations. And
right.
They've got a better chance of being struck by lightning than attacked by a mountain lion. So I think they've created a little terror. Now, though I was down there by Bedford just a couple days ago, and I was talking to a school principal down there about it, and he absolutely hadn't heard anything about it yet. So I guess the community isn't too much up in arms.
Yeah, they don't seem to be too worried then, huh?
No.
All right, well, that's it for the animal news tonight. I want to tell everybody that the old Farmer's Almanac says the best fishing days this month are the next couple of weeks,
And
that's because the moon is between new and full.
Well, I guess that would make a difference. We'll have to check with Peter in a couple of moments and find out if that's true. He would know.
That sounds like a winner, that's for sure.
We want to remind everyone that the Wild World News is underwritten by Jet Kaiser Films. If you have a corporation that's getting ready to do a production of any type, Jet Kaiser's the guy you need to get a hold of. All HD, jetkaiser.com, KAISER. We also want to tell everyone that our program is underwritten by several great individuals, such as Harrison College, right here in Indianapolis, Indiana. They've got a fantastic vet tech program where the youngsters can, well, basically assist vets in surgery and just your basic appointments and so forth. There's a lot involved with that. And Harrison College has a fine program, training program. Their website, www.harrison.edu, or their number, 1-888-544-4422. Also, Santee Cooper Country in beautiful South Carolina, Lake Marion and Lake Moultrie. They're known as Santee Cooper Lakes. Folks, they cover 171,000 acres and 450 miles of shoreline. Known for world-class fishing, they hold 7 state records and 1 world record. Here's that website, www.santeecoopercountry.org, or give the girls a call. They'll get your guides, your boats, your motel, where to eat, the whole deal. You'll have a great time. 1-800-227-8510. Also, a big thank you to McGregor Mountain Lodge in beautiful and scenic Estes Park, Colorado. It's God country, folks, right on the boundaries of Rocky Mountain National Park. If you've never been west, you owe it to yourself to at least go once. And what a great place to visit, Rocky Mountain National Park. Get your motel reservation. Man, they've got all kinds of cabins and lodges that you can rent. Fantastic. McGregor Mountain Lodge, here's their website, info@McGregorMountainLodge.com, or that 800 number, 1-800-835-8439. Also, a special thanks. They feed our cats, Gobi Custom Meats, right here in the suburbs of Greencastle, Indiana. They ship that meat out, and I'll tell you what, they have some of the best maple syrup. That number is 765-653-7119, and we want to thank them. Also, a big, big thank you to We Want You Cottages way up there in western New York. Chautauqua Lake, man, I'll tell you what, when the season rolls in, muskie, smallmouth, walleye, and, of course, they've got this fantastic new website, which we're going to be hearing about tonight, called iKids Fishing, where youngsters from all across the country can download that picture of that big fish they caught this past summer and compare it to young anglers all across the country. And that website is www.wewanchu.com, or give them a call, 716-789-3383. Get your reservation now for this upcoming great summer season. Also, I know they have winter activities we'll talk about. That's We Want You Cottages up in Western New York. Our thanks to all of our underwriters, man. They keep us on the air, and we really appreciate it. Tonight's guest, well, he happens to be a fantastic supporter of this program. Also, proprietor of the finest resort up in Western New York, Chautauqua Lake, We Want You Cottages, the distinguished and always well-groomed Peter Weimer's here tonight. Good evening, Peter.
How you doing, Larry?
I have no idea. How you doing?
I'm doing real well, thanks. We closed down our
I know. The season's over, isn't it?
Yeah, we closed down the weekend of October 24th, and we just put the last boat away for the winter, and our rental boats, and we're looking forward to some downtime and to go fishing ourselves.
Winter's coming, Peter.
I
know. Now, you live in Western New York. How far are you from Buffalo?
About an hour and a half.
Now, there's nobody in North America that hasn't heard about the brutal winters that Buffalo, New York gets.
Sure.
Now, are you also susceptible to that as well?
Oh, we get a lot more snow than Buffalo gets.
Oh,
Buffalo.
We get more snow. Oh, my
Buffalo,
Lord.
Buffalo gets the lake effect when it comes out of the southwest, and we get it when it comes out of the northwest, and both of us get the lake effect off of Lake Erie. And last winter, I think we had just over 250 inches of snow, and the winter before, we just had over a tad of 300 inches of snow. And so usually we get so snow blasted here that nobody comes to visit us or would want to, because it's, what are you going to do? We just shovel and plow and plow and shovel.
My gosh, what kind of equipment do you have to keep all that under control? I mean, that would be brutal.
Well, that's another reason why we're not open during the winter. We just get too much snow. I mean, I'm sure the Rockies and stuff, they get a lot more snow, but that's a different place. Here, we stay open when we can have the boats in the water and people can be fishing, and once it gets icy out, then it becomes a liability, and we don't want to, worry about people slipping on ice and breaking an arm or something like that.
So is there winter resorts where people go sledding and all that sort of thing?
Yeah. Here in Western New York, there's a couple of three real nice ski resorts that people from Cleveland, Pittsburgh, and Buffalo travel to, because we're within about a three-hour drive of Pittsburgh, two and a half from Cleveland, and an hour and a half drive from Buffalo. And so all of those resorts, and we root for them. We root for all the snow and no warm temperatures, because they help to drive the economy and add sales tax dollars to the county coffers, so they don't have to raise property taxes so much and beat us up.
Well, it's that's fantastic. But that much snow, that's. I don't know what we get, but nothing like that. It doesn't break my heart at all, I'll tell you the truth.
Right.
I mean, like a 9 inches of snow here, we're buried.
Oh, really?
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. They'll close schools. There'll be a winter alert where you're not allowed to be on the road.
Wow.
Oh, yes. And see, we have this massive hill that if we want to, around Christmas time, we've been known to park all the vehicles at the bottom of the hill, because it makes a fantastic toboggan run.
Wow.
That's our driveway, and you can go pretty quick. So, but that's fine around Christmas when we park our vehicles at the bottom of the hill. The only problem is after the first of the year, when we have to go back to work, where their trucks have to go up and down the hill, That's where it gets interesting. Because basically what you do, Peter, is you get back as far as you can and you make a, you hit that accelerator and you do not let up and you blast up that hill. And it's and we've done that with mountain lions in the trucks and bears and not made it all the way up the hill and have to unload all the animals and walk them up the hill to the compound. That's always
I think that happened on my first show with you, Larry.
It did.
You had gotten stuck in the driveway and had to go up and get some kind of tractor or something to pull you out.
That would not surprise. It's happened more than once. But
I understand.
But that's the beauty of living in the country. I mean, you know, here we are in the country.
Right.
It's fantastic.
That's right.
I love it. That's right.
It is.
Yeah, that's right. Well, we're going to be back with Peter and talk about this exciting iKids fishing and his trip to Sundance Film Festival. We're keeping our fingers crossed on that one. Folks,
thank you, Larry.
Oh, well, you're welcome. Folks, this is Larry Batson, and you're listening to Larry Batson's Wild World on Blog Talk Radio.
Stay tuned. We'll be back with more of Larry Batson's Wild World here on Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Pat Green. The blood supply is at critically low levels, and you can help. Call the American Red Cross at 1-800-GIVE-LIFE. That's 1-800-GIVE-LIFE to schedule your appointment to donate blood. Your donation is critical because every 2 seconds someone in America needs blood. That's accident victims, surgical candidates, and cancer patients, just to name a few. Please donate blood and encourage your friends, family, and neighbors to give too. Please call the American Red Cross at 1-800-GIVE-LIFE or visit givelife.org to make your appointment. Thank you.
Take me fishing and show me how to drive the boat.
Take me fishing so I can tell you what a great dad you've been.
Take someone you love out on the water and see where the water takes you.
Take me fishing because I miss my boy.
Rediscover the joy of boating and fishing. Get information and get going at takemefishing.org.
Ranger Station, Ranger speaking.
Yeah, hi. I'd like to report a bear sighting.
Location?
In the forest, near the side of the road.
No need for alarm, sir. The forest is where bears live.
But this was no ordinary bear.
No ordinary bear?
Yeah, 1 second, I'm having a smoke taken in the view. Next thing I know, I am face-to-face with Smokey Bear.
Let me guess, Smokey had a tip for you.
He did. He must have seen me toss my cigarette on the ground. He told me never to do that because it only takes one spark to start a wildfire.
He's a smart bear. Did you know that 9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by humans? That means 9 out of 10 wildfires can be prevented.
That's what Smokey said. I had no idea.
That's why Smokey's famous, and you're not.
Good point.
Get your Smokey on. If you see someone in danger of starting a wildfire, step in and make a difference, because 9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by humans. Brought to you by Smokey Bear, the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Welcome back to Larry Batson's Wild World here on Blog Talk Radio. Once again, here's your host, Larry Batson.
Hello, everybody. This is Larry Batson. This is Larry Batson's Wild World on the massive broadcasting network going around the world, Blog Talk Radio. Big hello to our listeners in Australia, New Zealand, Ireland, England, all across North America. Big hello to Slade Monk down in Alabama who catches our show. Usually the next day, he tells me, and also lots of other emails. And we want to remind you, if you go on the Blog Talk site, you can become a favorite of our program and click that button. And we'd love to have you aboard as the many favorites that have joined the wild world here on Blog Talk every Thursday night. Here's that number for tonight if you'd like to call in, 347-855-8123. We also want to remind everyone that this show is underwritten by several beautiful people that support this program and keep us on the air, such as Harrison College right here in Indianapolis, Indiana. They've got a fantastic vet tech program that, website is www.harrison.edu or their phone number 1-888-544-4422. That's Harrison College. Also, Santee Cooper Country in South Carolina. if you want to go fishing down south this winter, give them a call. Fantastic catfishing. SanteeCooperCountry.org, or give the girls a call, 1-800-227-8510. Also, McGregor Mountain Lodge in Estes Park, Colorado. God's Country, that's what I call it, right on the borders of Rocky Mountain National Park. Here's that website, info@McGregorMountainLodge.com, or their 800 number, 1-800-835-8439. And also a big, big thank you. We Want You Cottages up in Western New York, Peter and Kathy, who's been so kind to help underwrite our program. We really appreciate it. Here's that website, www.wewantchu.com, WEWANCHU.com. And Peter Weimer's here tonight, and young Justin, who stayed up late. He said he's been waiting a month. Justin, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good. How are you?
We're doing great. So you went fishing this summer, I'll bet, a few million times, didn't you?
Yep.
What'd you catch? Now, what was the biggest fish you caught this summer?
Well, I would have to say a smallmouth bass.
Yeah.
Me and my friends that stay here once a year.
Yeah.
For the weekend.
Yeah.
We went out on our dock, and it was a really cold day, so we were all frozen. And when we were out there, I just cast my line under a dock. I just had a hook and a worm on there and no sinker. And then all of a sudden, I hear my line taking off, and it's being tangled around the poles that are holding up the dock.
Oh.
And
so what did you do? How do you get out of that situation?
Well, first you probably really wanted a net near you.
Oh, a net.
Which I luckily left out there by accident on the day before that day.
So because you did not put the net away, it really helped you out.
Yep.
Well.
Also, it had a hole in it, but it wasn't that big because this fish was like 4 pounds. And
4 pounds. Now, you know what I've heard, Justin? You know what I've heard? Fishermen lie a lot. Now, you're not fibbing me, are you?
No, I'm not.
Did you weigh that fish? Are you sure it weighed 4 pounds?
Yep, I'm sure.
Okay, all right. Do you have a witness?
What?
You know, we only want the facts on this program. We wouldn't want to lead our audience astray.
It's true, said it was I'm not kidding.
But if you said it was 4 pounds, I believe you. Now, if Dr. Day would have said that, I wouldn't have believed a word of it. But if you said it is... So, Justin, you seem like a fine, intelligent young man. You get good grades at school, don't you?
Yep.
I'll bet you do. I'll bet you do. I can tell that. Well, I'll tell you what we're going to... Go ahead.
He is a real good student at school. He's doing real well, and he's a real polite fisherman when he's down on the dock or he goes out, you know, on a boat. And he always wears his life jacket, and he's a perfect gentleman, just like, you know, his father would say he is.
Yeah, like his dad.
So, yeah.
So Justin was one of the big stars. Now, we want to talk about this iKids Fishing. First of all, tell our worldwide audience a little bit about that website. What's it exactly involved?
The iKidsFishing.com website is where you can watch a little prelude to a kids fishing TV show that we created, starring kids, teaching kids and you how to catch fish. We're the first kids fishing show in the United States of America. We released it on DVD in March of 2010. And we submitted it to Sundance. We're hopeful they'll let they'll let everybody know on December 6th, yay or nay, if you made it or if you didn't, but we hope that we make it because there's 40 million fishermen in the USA spending $45 billion a year in retail sales, and we're the first kids fishing show that came out. And so I wrote to Sundance in our cover letter, I said, if you want to get the attention of 40 million fishermen, we would hope you would invite us to the show.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll wait and see. Justin and his sisters, Jenna and Jessica, and a bunch of their friends were all stars and co-stars of this kids fishing show, and it's called iKidsFishing.com. And it's a great thing, you know. It's all about the kids. You're watching all these little kids having fun and catching little fish, and taking kids fishing is really one of the most inexpensive things you can do with them. You can probably get a kid started out with a fishing pole and tackle box and a life jacket and some bait for $70 to $80, maybe $100 at the most, and then they'd be able to fish plus any bait that they have to get every day they go out, but basically they can fish for the rest of the year for free, especially if they can get some worms and bait from their own backyard.
I've always thought fishing is a great recreational sport for all youngsters.
It is.
Whatever gets them outdoors. I mean, so many kids are glued to the television and the computer screen and the iPods and the Xboxes. Anything that gets them outdoors is very important.
I agree. And it's we see a lot of kids here that are vacationing here at We Want You during the season, catching fish off the dock or going out with their dad or mom or dad and mom going fishing. And that's why I think a lot of people come here.
Oh, absolutely. I'm sorry?
It was about a year ago.
Yeah.
I was helping this one boy, I think he lived in Erie,
mm-hmm.
and he was visiting our lake, and when I was fishing out there, he was using hot dogs. He was trying to catch a bass, because bass also can bite on hot dogs, because apparently they like them.
Yeah.
And like, when I told him that you can use worms next, I think it was a day or 2 days after, he caught his biggest fish. It was a smallmouth bass. It weighed, I don't know, but he said it was like 21 inches, I think. I'm not sure, but...
That's a big bass.
That's a big... Justin, you should become the junior fishing guide for We Want You Cottages. Get you a nice little vest with some patches on it and have all those kids give you money so you take them out fishing to catch those big fish that you apparently can land.
It would be nice, but
it would be
too much fun just fishing, you know.
Well, that's true. That's absolutely true, you know. But anyway, Justin, the biggest bass ever caught was caught on a night crawler in a cane pole down in Georgia, I think. They may have caught a bigger one since then, but I forget what that. I think that fish weighed 20 pounds or largemouth. I'll have to look that up. Dr. Day, look that up in your massive files, if you don't mind.
All right.
Okay, he'll check on that. But, I believe it was, close to 20 pounds. I think I'm allergic to baboons. But anyway, you know, I have a fishing story, now that we're talking about bringing in the big whoppers and so forth. I had, when I was in, 18, 19 years old, I had friends, family that was going up to Michigan. You been to Michigan, Peter?
Yes, I have.
Well, we went up to the Upper Peninsula in Michigan.
Wow.
area called Marquette, Michigan, and you know, it's lakes, lakes, and lakes, more lakes, you know, lots of places to fish. But basically, the whole fishing trip, now Justin, it was just one practical joke after another, because the fishing wasn't that great. So we basically, the dad that took us up there, we basically terrorized him for a week. And one of the things we did, now Justin, this is a good little prank, but the dad had just bought this brand new fancy fishing reel, Zebco, Shakespeare, I can't recall, just a beautiful setup.
Oh.
Yeah, it was really nice. And one day we were walking down along the beach and we found a tip of a fishing pole that had been broken and discarded on the beach. And that's our lesson tonight. You should never throw trash on the beach, whether it be fishing line, hooks, fishing poles, or anything. But anyway, we found it. So that night we're sitting around a campfire and we're cooking the hot dogs and cooking the marshmallows. So my friend had a little brother who was just, well, how should I put this? He just was born annoying. And he was just my Lord. It's just terrible. So anyway, we come up with this little joke while we're all sitting around the campfire. We took this his dad's brand new rod and reel, and we took the tip of it out, you know, how they come apart.
Yeah.
And we put the old tip we'd found on the beach in the end of it. Then we speared about three or four marshmallows on that tip. And we're all sitting around a campfire, and this little boy who's just the, let's put it this way, you never want him to come to We Want You Cottages. He proceeded to walk up to the fire and start roasting these marshmallows. And it was so funny because I sat there and their dad, he looked over and he looked at he told him, I'll have one of them marshmallows when you're done. And then he gets to looking and looking and realizes what the kid's cooking the marshmallows with. Oh, my gosh, you talk about funny. I bet that dad chased that boy around that campfire, oh, my God, at least a dozen times before we finally told him. And it was a junk tip. He was not too happy. But that was more fun than a barrel of monkeys. And for me to say that, that's saying something. Absolutely.
There you go, Larry, man.
So all the children listening tonight, don't do that. Now, because a lot of fishermen, as Peter will attest, don't have a really great sense of humor, especially when it comes to their equipment.
Right.
Go ahead, Justin.
Well, some of fishing equipment is a game of high tech, and as I was watching this TV show, they've been making the camera lures to capture fish that have been apparently attacking humans, like freshwater fish, like muskie, and a whole bunch of other kind of fish. And apparently we get some muskie. We have some muskies in our lake, which get up to like 50 inches.
Mm-hmm.
And it's pretty shocking that freshwater fish are now attacking humans, because this teenager was walking down a creek and he came around a bottom jaw.
Yeah.
And he didn't know what it was, so he thought it was like a wolf jaw kind of.
Yeah.
It was so big, and
he watches that Monster Quest, Larry.
Yeah.
Oh,
the same
that
show
Monster
that
Quest. Oh, my
they
Lord.
had muskie attacks around the country.
On Monster Quest? That show isn't on
Monster Quest.
They
of course, have Bigfoot spottings or sightings all over the place.
Oh, well.
And Justin likes to watch that. He's waiting to see your picture up.
Well, our technical producer is a veteran of Monster Quest, Melissa Hovey. And Justin, she knows all about doing that show. Our technical producer, Melissa's been on the Monster Quest show. Oh, yes. Now, I did the Monster Quest show. They didn't run mine because I made fun of them. So they
really,
they thought they didn't like my way of thinking about it, so they never did run it. But anyway, but that's so freshwater attacks by fish. You know, Justin, that's a story in itself right there. That's. So,
you know, Larry, about 2 years ago, Larry, I had, you know, as I sign up boat rental customers, and sometimes I jazz them, and I says, well, you know, I try to encourage people to swim where they can touch. I says, you don't want to be swimming in the middle of the lake and have a little kid get nibbled on by a muskie.
Yeah.
And this little girl just about lost it. She had Googled all the different muskie attacks before they went on vacation to come to Chautauqua Lake. And I had never heard of a muskie attack. I was just kidding, just trying to encourage the parents not to get their kids out in deep water to go swimming, you know?
Yeah.
And this girl, she was deathly afraid. And I spent 10 minutes convincing her that it was just a joke and that there's really no muskie attacks on Chautauqua Lake. And they,
but it's possible.
But it's possible.
We haven't had one yet, but it could be possible because we've been catching numerous of muskie that are huge. And, well, not, like, not catching, but...
You know what I said earlier about fishermen that lie?
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
No, I think it's possible. In fact, Dr. Day just had a story last week about a person that was attacked, wounded, maimed by a barracuda down in Florida. Of course, that's
right.
Yeah, that's a big. That's basically a big saltwater muskie, essentially.
Right. Sure.
But he talked about that, and we laughed because, you know, what's the possibilities of something like that happening? I mean, so remote. Well, you know, who would have thought that the crocodile would be killed by a stingray? I mean, that never happened.
Right.
And you get somebody with his notoriety, it happens to, and he's messed with crocodiles his entire life, and he dies from a stingray freak accident. It's like, it absolutely is. It's so Justin. So when will you get to go fishing again? What, April?
Actually, we might be going soon, November and December, because right now trout fishing is in
Steelhead.
Yeah, Steelhead.
Mm-hmm.
And the trout and steelhead come up the rivers from Erie.
Lake Erie.
Yeah, Lake Erie.
And that's only 13 miles from us, so we go to some creeks, tributaries to feed into Lake Erie, and these
giant,
great big salmon.
Yeah.
Come swimming up the creeks, and Justin was chasing them last year. We didn't catch any. He got his waders on. The water was clear that day, thinking he was going to just cast into the pool of salmon.
Yeah.
And they of course ran from them, but it was a
but
good.
But I did hook one. And
it was a good dog and
it
pony
broke
show.
My line.
Oh, there you go. Well, I can remember doing a lot of the sports shows in Pittsburgh and at Monroeville, and guys would go out fishing for steelheads during the show, and they'd bring back big coolers full of them.
Yeah,
not too far from there at all. So,
no.
I've seen that before. Man, there's probably nothing better to eat if you enjoy fish.
They are supposed to be a good eating fish.
But do you like fish, Peter?
Oh yeah.
Oh, you do? Okay. All right.
We tend to eat or try to eat, you know, perch.
Crappie. We eat salmon, and it was good.
Yeah.
Well, it is good. Yeah. Besides that, it's absolutely good for you. But. It was, well, as we discussed with Betty Williams from the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, who has been on with us a couple of times, you know, these youngsters, they need to go out and do these types of activities because they're staying indoors too much and watching too much television,
right.
And as we said, to computers and so forth, And I think the iKids fishing, now, you're still having it where they can download pictures of the fish they've caught.
Yep, yep, for sure.
I think that's a great idea.
It is, you know, and it shows there's a bunch of pictures on there right now of little kids with their fish from all parts of the country. Obviously, you could Google public fishing spots in your area and find where you can go and park your car and fish from shore, or fish from a pier or dock, and take your kids fishing.
Mm-hmm.
And as an adult, you'll probably need a license, but in a lot of states, kids under whatever 16 years of age in New York State don't have to have a license.
Hmm.
And so you want to check your local fishing laws and turn your kids onto fishing, and it's a great thing, you know. I mean, obviously, get them hooked on fishing and not on drugs, and they'll have a lifelong hobby that they can take their friends or girlfriend or their own kids fishing when they grow up.
Wow. So, Justin, do you take your girlfriend fishing?
Our relationship isn't that good yet, though.
Oh, no. Let's get into this now. Oh, now we've entered a whole different can of worms. In fact,
I didn't even know about that girl.
Miss Hovey might want to take the female. What's happened here, Justin?
What do you mean?
What's gone on with you and your girlfriend? What do you think turned it sour?
Well, nothing really.
Is there something that you do that she didn't like, or?
No.
Are you not a Justin Bieber fan, or?
Well, I'm not, but her friends are. But.
Oh, doesn't she like to go fishing?
Not really.
You know, what I found with the ladies in fishing is, in fact, I did a seminar on this, how to go fishing with worms without touching the worm.
Oh, did you?
Oh, yeah. It was quite successful. I did that many times. How to fish with live bait without touching it. That was the name of the seminar. How to fish with live bait without touching it. Yeah. Well, I'll tell you right now, Justin, I feel for you. Do you think you can turn it around? Do you think something's going to happen with this gal?
I think so.
Yeah.
In a good way or a bad way?
What do you mean?
Well, just forget thousands are listening. What do you think the future of this relationship is?
I don't know.
Well...
Oh, poor Justin. He's just 10 years old. I think this is his first
love that Dad
whatever.
Didn't even know about.
Yeah, and I didn't even know about it. You know.
Well, you know, there's certain things. We heard about the crocodile twins here on Blog Talk Radio. God love Bob Long, who's trying to save the Houston toad in Texas. But Justin's love affair that's gone dismal is, I have to say, the top story for this year's programs.
What?
Well, Justin, we appreciate it. Hey, now listen to this, Justin. We've got some great guests coming up in the next few months, or weeks, I should say, months. December, I'm way ahead of myself. December 9th, it looks like we're going to have Beach Boy Al Jardine on the show. He's involved with several environmental issues in the state of California, as well as the California condor and all sorts of things, and he's going to be on the show, it looks like, on December the 9th. Week after that, we're going to stick with some music. Bobby Caldwell, drummer for Johnny Winter, and also, memory block because I was trying to remember Captain Beyond. I couldn't think of the band he was with. So he's going to be on the week after. We have some old rock and roll stories to talk about. And on December 2nd, a couple weeks earlier than that, Tim O'Connor is going to join us from Santee Cooper Country. We're going to hear about gators and herons and all the stuff going down there in South Carolina. He's the big guide, the nature guide, who's going to be on the program, so we hope everyone can tune in.
Cool.
We want to thank Justin and Peter for being with us tonight.
Thank you. Wonderful show, man.
Good luck on that Sundance Film Festival. We really hope iKids Fishing is a part of it. And if it is, we're going to have you on the show live from Utah. You bet. That'll be exciting. And you know what?
That would be exciting.
That would be very. And Justin, there's probably lots of pretty young ladies out there, so I wouldn't get too serious about anybody there in New York till you hit Utah. Okay. Okay. Are you still there?
Yep.
All right. Well, thanks again. We want to thank Melissa Hubby and Wayne Larson for keeping the controls, doing such a great job tonight on Blog Talk Radio, and also Dr. Henry Day with the Wild World News.
You know,
Doctor,
what
you got playing? What?
Well, you know what I always say?
What?
I've got worms,
yeah,
but I'm going fishing anyway.
That's right. This is Larry Batson's Wild World, and you've been listening to Blog Talk Radio. We'll see you next week with Dave Davies of the Kinks. Good night, everybody.
Good night, Larry.
Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for listening this week to Larry Batson's Wild World. Be sure to join us again next week at 10 p.m. for more of the latest outdoor and wildlife news and information, along with great tales from your host, world-renowned wildlife expert, Mr. Larry Batson. Tune in again next week for another exciting edition of Larry Batson's Wild World. Larry Batson's Wild World is a Batson Wildlife Educational Services production in association with Blog Talk Radio.